Okay, welcome back to my channel. So what we're going to be doing today is book review. I did mention previously that I can't always get hold of the paperback books, especially if they've got to be imported from overseas. And sometimes, I don't really want to buy the paperback books. The Kindle version or I use Scribd quite often, but the electronic version is quite adequate. So what I'm going to be doing today is actually reviewing two books on Kindle, and I'll put the link to the books on Amazon where you can go purchase them. Obviously, I get a commission from that, and that is much appreciated. It doesn't change the price of your purchase, but I do get a small commission, which I appreciate because then I can use that to go and buy more books to review. So I will put those links in the little eye icon. Again, can't remember which side it goes. Somewhere around in one of these corners, little eye icon. Click that, and you'll be able to go to both books. I'll also put the links in the description below. All right. So this is something new I'm trying today. So hopefully this all works with the whole book review aspect. So let's see what happens. Right, so the first book is by David Thompson, Demons of High Magic. And the other book I'm going to be reviewing is the one by Theodore Rose, Lucifer and the Hidden Demons. And I wanted to review them both together because the actual content part, or not the content part, the descriptive aspects or the descriptive part of each book is very short, and then it goes into the actual the path workings, rituals, or something like that. And they're, it's not really something you can review. It's just something you have on hand as a reference for when you actually want to use it. But the reason I'm actually doing them together, well, apart from that, is because they are actually kind of linked, and I'll demonstrate why just now. First of all, let's have a look at the actual demons which I worked with in this specific book, or mentioned and described. It's Lucifer, Boon, Belial, Belphegor, Paimon, Lilith, Baal, Marbas, Verine, and Nitika. So if you have an interest in any of these spirits, then this is actually a good book to get. I don't agree with everything that was written in the book. He actually starts off with a fiction, which is quite funny actually. It's about some teenagers who are trying to call up Boon, and that's quite funny when they get to experience the energy of the spirit. But what I wanted to, I made did make some book notes, or bookmarks, notebooks, bookmarks, whatever. So let's have a look. I've mentioned that the demons are actually going to be worked with in the book. Why did I write here? Very Christian worldview. As I said, I don't really agree with everything in the book, and naturally I won't. Everybody's different and has a different worldview and works differently, so we're not all going to agree. But generally, it was actually a very good book that I found. It speaks about true dark beings, true demons. His view really is, the aspect of daemon and demon. I would use the English phrase, the anglicized or Christianized use of the word demon as being an evil spirit or a dark being, to be more of an astral parasite. But he does have a very different kind of view in here. So it's a good idea to read through this stuff and get an understanding of what the author is actually considering to be things X, Y, and Z, and his own terminology and use of phrases and such. Let's see. Lucifer's mentioned in the Ars. Okay, yeah, he does mention that Lucifer is mentioned in the Ars Goetia, as well as the Testament of Solomon. It's kind of a very brief mention in the Goetia itself. It's actually mentioned more, obviously, in books like the Grimorium Verum and the Book of Abramelin. Yeah, what did you say here? He's the one you summon before summoning any other demon. You see that that there ties into Theodore Rose's Lucifer and the Hidden Demons. That's one example. There's a few examples. So I'm going to go through those and just show you why I think this particular book had a huge influence from Theodore Rose's book. He is often summoned along with Leviathan, Satan, and Belial to add power and protection to any ritual you are working. That is very, very much Book of Abramelin and also Levian Satanism. Let's have a look at another bookmark. Yeah, I thought I'd make the bookmarks. It's easier to kind of skip through. There we go. Okay, and then also custom design numerous. Okay, he has created his own sigils, which he has in the back. I'll show you just now. What I want to show you first of all is this his particular method of introducing each spirit. So we have Lucifer as the first one. And he gives a description of Lucifer, for instance. Well, it's very much his own UPG and his own understanding of things. That's where all of this came in. So it doesn't, it's quite brief. It's not an in-depth examination of the spirits themselves. Then he starts with the high magic ritual. So it's a particular ritual which he has considered to be high magic. And then you have a simplified ritual. This happens with each of the spirits except Nitika. This happens with each of the spirits. You have this high magic ritual and then a simplified ritual. And then you have a path working. Now, if you have read Lucifer and the Hidden Demons, you have actually worked one of the path, well, specifically the path working with Lucifer, you'll probably recognize this. And just bear this in mind. I'm going to then show you the path working for Lucifer from Lucifer and the Hidden Demons, so you can see the comparison. So his is closing your eyes, breathing slowly, and begin to feel a cool breeze on your skin and face. Fresh mountain air, crisp. In your mind, visualize looking up at a mountain by the light of a moon. So you've got this sort of open scenery, fresh air, and then you see mountains, and then you look up to the mountains with by the light of a full moon. The silvery light illuminates the mountain. At the peak of this mountain is an enormous oak tree, thousands of years old. So now you have a tree. Two breaths, and then see yourself now just under that tree and see its branches spreading outward. The branches are bare except for large acorns that are pure silver. So you have the large tree with the aspect of silver. Clouds form in the sky, billowing clouds lit with the silver moon against the dark sky. All right, so remember that. I'm going to go to the Lucifer and the Hidden Demons just now. I'll actually start with this part here, the actual path working, so you can do a comparison. And then that's it. So each spirit, we go to Boon and we have an explanation, and then we have the high magic ritual, which is actually kind of a repeat. It's just changing one spirit for another. And then the simplified ritual again, a repeat, and then the path working to Boon, which is his own path working. Alright, so that repeats all the way through. And then I just want to show you the sigils. So he did do his own sigils, which he got from the spirits, and nothing wrong with that. We often meet spirits and we ask for a very personal symbol or sigil or name or something that we can use in order to contact that spirit again. That's usually the best approach. This is what he's done, and he has just published it publicly. So these are his own sigils that he uses. You can use these, or you can use the ones from Dukant, or you can use the ones from Galatia, if they are Galatia spirits. Wherever you can find the sigil and see which ones work. Nitika, you might want to use this one. There isn't very many sigils, actually, for Nitika. And then that's really it. And then it goes into color correspondences. things that you can just the ends themselves, you know. He does go extensively into using a pendulum, and has these little charts that you can use. This itself, you'll probably, if you've read, you know, Nitika, working with Nitika, if you have read, oh, what's the book's name? New Avatar Power, then you'll probably recognize a lot of what is going on in here. Ritual for Nitika, you see all of this here, is very much in line with new Avatar Power. So yeah, you know, good book. Simple book. As I said, I don't agree with all of his understandings and all of his own terminology, and way of describing things, but that's normal, you know, that's not anything out of the ordinary. So good book, interesting book. If you do want to start working with these particular spirits, I'd suggest getting it. So let's move on to the next book. All right, so Lucifer and the Hidden Demons by Theodore Rose. This is a practical grimoire from the Order of Unveiled Faces. Now, the first time I read this, I thought it was great. I did some of the path workings. They worked, I'd say, 50-50, you know. Doesn't mean that they're wrong. Maybe I was just having a bad day with some of them and they didn't work, but maybe my target, my aim was off. But I do find the path workings interesting. What I found interesting about the path workings themselves, the actual visualizations, is that they feel very familiar when you're actually doing them. It's like there's something which is implanted in your in the collective conscious, in your subconscious itself. So I found it very interesting. I found the book very good. However, when I read through it again before I was doing this review, I picked up so many mistakes. It's kind of written from the viewpoint of, I am the most powerful person, most powerful magician in the world, but don't believe me. Do one of these rituals and see what happens. But you know, all of these other people that are doing X, Y, and Z are stupid, and they don't really know what they're talking about, and you know, all of this stuff, and all of the stuff that he's talking about is based on hundreds and thousands of years of practice. So yeah, I didn't really enjoy the book the second time I was reading it, but you know, not to say don't get the book, just bear those things in mind when you're reading through the actual explanation section. And then kind of suspend that when you do the actual practices, the actual path workings, and see how it goes for you. I'm going to go straight into that Lucifer path working so you can see the comparison. And then I'll go through some other comparisons. Should be here. Alright, so this is the path working. You stand in a rock-strewn desert, open air. There are mountains on the horizon. You stand at the base of the mountains, again. And then instead of the previous one had the silver light of the moon and all that stuff coming down on the mountaintop, and there was a large oak tree at the top of the mountain. This is just there, a black tree, its bark scorched. So it's a big black tree. And then silver, that one had silver acorns. This is silver oozes from the tree's green buds. Liquid metal runs down twigs and branches, hardening around the roots like glittering ice. So, you know, that's very similar to what we saw with David Thompson. The other similar things is this particular book. Let's go back to the title page so you can see the book while I talk about it. No, the cover, not the title. There's the cover. There we go. All right. So this book, all of the spirits in this book are from the Book of Abramelin, or the Sacred Magic of Abramelin. And that particular working is either a 6-month working or an 18-month working, depending on which version you get. It's better to get the 18-month working because that is closer to what the original was. The Mathers version was the 6 month working, which was translated from the French, which was kind of, I wouldn't say simplified, but you know, the time frame was reduced, the intensity of the ritual, if we can put it that way. But that working itself is all about inflaming yourself with prayer to God and such things, and then you come into knowledge and conversation with your Holy Guardian Angel. Now, the Holy Guardian Angel is considered to be something which is kind of an intermediary between yourself and the other spirits. Specifically when you're talking about the magic of, or the Book of Abramelin, if you go to Grimorium Verum, that spirit is usually considered to be Skirlin. If you read through Jake Stratton Kent's book, The True Grimoire, he actually mentions all of this. You know, you have this gatekeeper or intermediary spirit between yourself and divinity or the other spirits. So opens the gate, opens the doorway so that you can go and speak to them directly. And in the case of Abramelin, that is the Holy Guardian Angel. Now, Theodore Rose, you know, if we talk about the Holy Guardian Angel, the first place we usually go to is Crowley's work. Crowley spoke about it a lot. It was a huge focus. In fact, somewhere Crowley actually mentioned at one stage that in order to do magic, you have to have knowledge and conversation with your Holy Guardian Angel first. All right, so it's kind of like that should be your first pursuit. So very large emphasis on the HGA within Crowley's working, or within his magic, within his teachings. All right. Now, let me see if I can find the bookmark. Sorry, I kind of bookmarked things all over the place, and then I can't remember where they go. Yeah, there's a whole thing about Lucifer and being an egregore, and other people are working with egregores, and this guy's not, that I kind of very much disagree with. I'll get into that just now. I think it was here. He mentions that it is possible that we are each granted an angel at birth that watches over us, but for every 100 souls claiming to have achieved the mythical knowledge and conversation of the Holy Guardian Angel, as it's so amusingly named, there are 80 that have lied, 19 that have deceived themselves, and 1 that has gone mad. The angel may be there, but this operation in which you spend 18 months craving for God is better used as an allegorical description of magical technique. Now, what I wanted to note was this. Theodore Rose has no belief in the HGA, obviously, or older concepts of the personal daimon from the text, such as the PGM, that's the Greek magical papyri. Which is a lot older than Abramelin. Like, I think the Abramelin was written in the... I think the 1300s, somewhere around there. PGM was written in the 4th to the 6th century BCE. So this is, you know, preceding or predating millennia. So for all the talk about older texts being better, which he does, a lot has been ignored by the author. But there was something else specifically in regards to Crowley that I wanted to actually mention and pull up. Let's just see if I can find it again. I noticed this is a holier-than-thou attitude that is completely misguided and ignorant. He says a ceremonial bath, something that has always amused me, or anointing themselves with oil. Let's actually go there. He kind of says that people, occultists who take ceremonial baths before doing a ritual, is just a distraction. These distractions are not even a blind to conceal something deeper, but dressings that support the work of unimaginative while concealing the nature of magic. It's complete ignorance. I mean, people have been taking ceremonial baths for centuries before doing any kind of ritual. So he's basically calling all of our forefathers ignorant and stupid. Where was it? Let me find it. I will find it. Can't remember now. Anyway, basically, he was saying that Crowley's Liber Samech, which was his version of Book of Abramelin, was just completely and utterly stupid and ignorant. And his whole, I think he actually said his whole, the Headless One ritual was ridiculous. The whole Headless One ritual is based on the, sorry, he called it the Bornless One. Crowley called it the Bornless One. It actually was based on the Headless One ritual from the PGM. Just slight changes of words here and there to suit Crowley's more Egyptian approach to things. So you know, Crowley based something which on a document and a text and a ritual which was centuries, millennia older than Abramelin, but you know, this guy wants to call him stupid and ignorant. So oh, I don't know. Anyway. So I did find a lot. Oh yes, the Lucifer aspect. So basically, I'm not going to go through all the bookmarks. It's going to be a pain in the ass. So basically, he says that Lucifer, the Lucifer that other people call, is purely an egregore, and you know, working with an egregore is base magic almost. It's not working with the true power of the entity itself. And what he's stating in here is that the Lucifer that he works with is the true Lucifer. And this Lucifer originates from the Book of Abramelin. Now, my argument there is that Lucifer, first of all, is a Latin word. It means, it's just a word that means Lightbringer. It has been assigned to a specific Roman deity, which is the light of Venus, and associated with Venus, the planet Venus itself, and the goddess Venus. But also from the Italian and the Roman aspect, also if we look at Aradia, the Gospel of Witches, it's noted that Diana created the cosmos and then felt kind of lonely, so wanted a partner, so birthed Lucifer. You know, that, as I said, that Lucifer, the name and the word is Latin. Then we come along to Abramelin, which speaks about the four demon kings as being Lucifer, Leviathan, Satan, and Belial, if I remember correctly. I hope I got that right. But what we have there are basically three. We've got Leviathan, Satan or Shaitan, and Belial, who we find within the Hebraic texts, okay, and we find in the Bible, in the, you know, in the original versions. Then we have Lucifer, and as we know, Lucifer didn't actually appear in the original texts of the Bible. It was a misgiving or a mistranslation. I actually did note it somewhere here. It was a mistranslation of from the Hebrew to the Greek to the Latin of the word Halel. And the original Hebrew was Halel, and then it became Phosphorus into the Greek. And then instead of the, I think it was Origen who translated into the Latin, instead of translating it from the original Greek, which he was asked to, he translated it from the, from the original Hebrew, he translated it from the Greek. So he translated the word phosphorus instead of halal, because there is really no translation to halal. And he made it Lucifer, you know, Lightbringer, or Morning Star, or Dawnbringer, or something like that. You know, therefore we have the three spirits, Leviathan, Shaitan, and Belial, who are all Hebrew, Hebraic in origin, those names. And then we have Lucifer, which is not, completely separate, completely disconnected from those three, actually. Yes, made it into a 13th or 12th century grimoire, or 14th century, whenever it was written, made it into this specific grimoire, sure. But it doesn't mean that that was the original Lucifer, the true Lucifer, just because somebody mentioned it in their grimoire. And then, but he starts talking about egregores, and everybody else is connecting to egregores. Egregores, once formed, want nothing more than your belief, because that is what sustains them, and so they offer sensations of supernatural contact. This does not mean they have the power to grant the wishes requested of them. The biggest egregore is the Christian egregore, and we all know how powerful that one is. I don't think he has a proper understanding of egregores. This actually sounds like more of an astral parasite that he's talking about here. There was just a whole lot of stuff in this book that I personally questioned. The problem is, the book is actually written for people who are just starting out. They are beginners. This is a very simplified approach to working with spirits themselves. It's a very specific subset of the spirits, specifically from Book of Abramelin. I just want to go back to my full screen. So that's a very, very specific subset of spirits from Book of Abramelin. And as I said, it's written with the beginner in mind. And what he's doing is basically setting himself up as the ultimate authority and saying that if you follow my way, you won't go wrong. And then it's very much scammy kind of approach, but also quite cultic actually, but he's not forming a cult. So I think he's kind of trying to set himself up for future books. I don't know, because I don't think there are any future books. So that's all of that ranting out of the way. And I hope you enjoyed the review. I am linking to both books. If you do, as I say, read Theodore Rose's book with a handful of salt. But at the same time, try it, because I did find that the actual path workings were very good, regardless of all the pomp and putting himself on a pedestal type of thing that he does in the beginning. And David Thompson's book is really good, and it's called High Magic Rituals and Simplified Rituals, but they are fairly, even the High Magic Ritual is quite simplified type of workings if you compare them to something like Cold and Dawn workings. They're great to use, and some people like the ceremony and the ritual, some people like the simplicity of a path working. So he kind of explores all of those options for everybody, anybody can pick that book up and find a way of working that they actually like. And obviously you can adapt stuff to your own way of working. So makes it a very, very good book, in my understanding anyway. All right, so that's it for this month's book review. I hope you enjoyed it, and cheers for now. Bye bye.